KPCA LP, Petaluma, California. Peter Thompson and Jason Davies. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Petaluma.
It's Friday.
Good.
It's crab feed tonight.
It's crab.
Yes.
Where are the crabs? Who's got crabs?
The Sonoma County.
Oh, that crab feed.
Yeah, it's starting tonight. It's
so weird. I thought it was tonight, but then I saw a picture. I don't know, it was on your page or Cindy's page. Is that from like last year's crab feed or something?
Oh, where
your joke.
I think it happened already.
Yeah, no, it's tonight. I have to get there at 5 because I'm one of the bartenders. Cindy's going to go early with me. And then we have a Southern Sonoma Democratic table, and it's full, 16 people.
So let's make sure our listeners know what the heck we're talking about.
We're talking about the Sonoma County, the Democratic Central Committee of Sonoma County. Each city has a Democratic party or mm-hmm. Democratic group.
Yeah.
And there is a fundraiser every year, and it's a crab feed.
Uh-huh.
It's always at this time of the year, and it's at the Santa Rosa Veterans Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are $65.
And it's all you can eat crab.
It's all you can eat crab. And then
wow.
We have pasta from the Pasta King that's there.
Don't fill up on pasta. You won't have room for crab.
I never do the pasta. I just crab. And then, you know, I always bring, like, my own lemons with me, even though we cut lemons up for it. And then I always bring a washcloth, you know, to make sure that I can clean up really well afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll bring, you know, like, my own crackers, you know, otherwise.
You got to have your tools.
You have to have your tools. It's really fun. Okay. And so actually, our club has two members that are getting awards this year. One is Therese Horstein, mm-hmm. who actually started the club about 30 years ago.
Oh, yes.
So she's going to be awarded the Roberta Hollowell
Award. Oh, good
award.
For her.
Yeah, and
that's
Roberta
great.
Was an activist from way back, and I still have her, you know, email and stuff in my phone book. But she died along quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And she was something.
She was really something. Yep. She really was. And then there is the Young, what is the Young Dem Award? That a young Democrat gets this award. I'm not sure what the name of it is. But it's Ileana, Hooper is, what's her middle, her, Margiana Hooper.
Oh, it's related to Blake?
It's Blake Hooper.
Oh, cool.
So she's going to be getting that award tonight,
good,
and
good
it's really exciting.
That's great.
And, you know, she's a great activist, as Blake is.
So it's also a bunch of elected officials and party enthusiasts, activists, friends of the Democratic Party, all getting together and eating a bunch of crab and celebrating and raising money.
Exactly. That's
sounds
fun. The biggest fundraiser. So if people want to get tickets, you can still get online. And, you know, possibly buy some tickets and come tonight or just get involved in your local Democratic club.
I recommend a bib. I went to one of these before, and whether it was crab coming from me or other people, just there's a lot of splattering that happens.
Okay.
It's all good.
Okay, now do you eat your crab? As you crack your crab, do you eat it or do you pile your crab?
I'm a stockpiler. My whole method is you extract, make your nice little pile, then you get a nice pile of crab, and there you go. Add your lemon.
That's what I do. But I also have like knives on both sides because if anybody tries to take my
crab,
I'm going to stab.
This is the problem I have at home. Whenever I'm trying to prepare something, I was trying to make sushi, for example, and I'm spending all this time trying to create this big plate of sushi, and meanwhile the kids and my wife keep taking the pieces. I'm like, come on, I want there to be a big plate of sushi that we all get at once. And it's like,
so where do you buy your sushi?
You know, what I do is I go to Anna's Seafood.
Okay.
Which I only found out about a year or so ago. But it's in northeast Petaluma in one of the one of those business
industrial parks.
Yeah, and it's great. The food is very fresh. They, all kinds of stuff. It's not just for sushi, but very good sushi grade.
In the past, you had to go down to Berkeley to get really good sushi grade.
Yeah, I went to a place in Santa Rosa that's also pretty good.
They had a fire there, so they're actually reopened again.
Yeah, but I mean, once I found Anna's, it's like there's no point. I mean, this is right here in Panama.
You can get good crab at Anna's. That's where I go to get crab.
I hadn't thought of that.
Or you can get it already.
I have this thing that you have to take your bucket, put it in your trunk, you have to go out to Bodega and buy it, off the boat.
Yeah.
And then you come home, and I have this whole method of how to boil them, and crack them.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is if you do that, make sure you bring ice. And so you put the crabs in first, then you throw the ice on top, and it takes about 15 minutes to 30 minutes, and they completely calm down.
Wow.
And so then when you take the tongs to put the crabs in the...
See, that's something I have a hard time with.
They can't snap at you. You get used to it. Just a tip for the day.
I probably should become a vegan. I probably should because I'm an omnivore.
Yeah.
I've been eating, I'm not that picky.
So why do you want to become a vegan?
I just find it harder and harder to deal with the idea of killing, I guess.
You know, the older I get, I kind of feel that way too, and I think about cows.
Yeah, and the intelligence of these animals and pigs and then the little lambs, and it just... I guess, someone told me once, it's like, look, if you can't go out and kill it yourself, you shouldn't be eating meat. I'm starting to think that maybe I'm this terrible hypocrite guy that's happy to eat it once it's killed, but I'm not willing to do it myself.
Jason, I'm happy to sit down and have a steak dinner with you anytime.
I went fishing about a year ago with my dad, and I hadn't done it in years. And my dad brings these fish in, and it was quite an assortment. Now, this is near Anacapa Island, Santa Cruz Islands.
Rock.
There were several types of fish that we got, some mackerels, some type of, looked like a snapper type or something. And he brings them in, and he sticks them in this bucket. And they're sitting there in this bucket suffocating, and I'm saying, Dad, that's not how you taught me to do it. You're supposed to kill them right away, put them out of the misery. He's like, no, I just can't do it. It's fine. They're dying by themselves. I'm like, but Dad, they're suffering.
Well, I've been with rock fishing.
So he said, you do it.
No, I don't do that.
So I cut all their heads off. And that was gruesome, but
that's why you go on a party with and they do it for you.
But it killed them very quickly, and I just felt better about it. But, I read something. And what they say is that the stress of having these fish just kind of asphyxiate over time in a bucket, actually it causes a flow of adrenaline into the meat that makes it not taste as good.
That is true.
So I don't know. I read it somewhere. So I guess there's an argument beyond...
We've got a confirmation. Two people agree.
Beyond just being humane, it actually is better for the taste, apparently.
Yeah. Anyway. When I go fishing, that's the thing. When we pull them into the boat, the first thing we do is grab a mallet and zonk them on
the
head.
But not with the little fish, not with the rock fish.
Oh, they call them priests.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that? The little things that are designed to hit the fish, they call them priests.
It looks like a dowel.
Like a Catholic priest?
I guess you're blessing. You're blessing the heck out of the fish.
You're whacking the head of the fish and you're molesting the children.
Anyway, I didn't go there.
Well, we can talk about a more disgusting subject, and that was the results of the election.
Oh.
Well,
Measure I didn't go through.
Measure I did not pass, and it was almost a 50-50.
Yeah. And I didn't mean disgusting. Disappointing.
Yeah.
So it had to go 50, it was 51%.
It had to be 66.
Right, but it was only 51%.
Measure
right.
I was 51, 48, no.
That's a really high threshold. How many years ago was it? We voted for that in California. I actually voted against
wasn't it.
But ever since
that threshold, right.
Very difficult for special taxes.
Right.
School
taxes are 55%.
And the irony, which is really difficult, is most people actually favor special taxes versus general taxes. And general taxes are actually easier to pass because they don't require that threshold.
Right.
But they're not as targeted. So it's kind of strange. You would think.
Well, I think they have to do a threshold if it's a specific tax, though. So
that's what I'm saying. So the general one, it's not. But what, right, but my right, point right. is that you could argue that a general tax is worse from the standpoint of your money not necessarily being accountable.
Well, it goes into the general fund. Yeah. Where does it go?
And so it's easier to pass one of those than it is to pass a specific tax that just...
Well, the fire tax did not pass either, and that was pretty close.
Wow.
And so, but you know, a lot of
tax measure G was 61.8 yes and 38.2.
Well, I think a lot of people have already paid into a fire tax for their areas, and that was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really read the measure, I mean, there were definitely problems with the measure, long-term problems, because they were not dealing with the unfunded liability.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to Supervisor Rabbit, he says, you don't have to worry about it. It won't happen for 20 years. Well, I like to look at today, and I like to project out 20 years.
You think?
Yeah, once in a while, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's all planning.
It is planning. And so there were definitely some problems with it, and so we'll see what
happens. What about 13? Did 13 pass?
Oh, you know, I don't know.
Oh, I was so focused on the president.
This is a Prop 13 on schools, and it was so confusing for people.
Okay.
Oh. And I don't know, we can look it up. I'm not sure if it passed. It was very close. Is what I know. So we can look at that as we're going. But,
And then, of course, Jared Huffman came in first as our U.S. representative.
Yeah, that was no surprise.
64.7%.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican candidate, Dale Mensing, at 22.9%.
You know,
and we had some this and that.
I noticed there was someone running against, running for assembly. They had campaign signs, Republican candidate had campaign signs in the median on Petaluma Boulevard.
Who was that?
Day before election. I can't remember the guy's name, never heard of him, but he was on the ballot as a Republican vote running, I think, for assembly.
Oh, Ron Sundergaard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what is it with these guys? You can't just put their signs, you know, like that on
I was tempted
public
to vote
media.
For him just because, I hate Mark so much.
Well, I voted for...
I'm kidding. I voted for
Jacoby. Yeah, I voted for her. Yeah, she's very bright, actually.
Yeah, no, she really is, and she's on the ballot every single time.
Yeah.
And I am still...
Well, she's keeping them honest.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
So I just want to let people know that on Tuesday, the Planning Commission is going to be discussing the Corona Project and the... I'm not sure about the SMART, but I think just the Corona Project. So it'll be City Hall. I believe it starts at 6:30. I'm not – between 6:30 and 7, you need to check it out. And I think it's really important that people go. I was talking to some people that live in the mobile home park across from this project. They are just really angry because it's so dangerous to get in and out of there now.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're going to go ahead and take a crossing directly across the street from the mobile home park into the Corona site with no lights. It's just going to be a free-for-all, and people can't get out of there now. And I don't think the city council is even considering senior citizens. They're not looking at the danger of traffic. They're just being bought by the developers and moving forward, and it's really disappointing that there was not one mitigation put into this project for traffic.
Mm.
Not one council member brought up one mitigation.
Hmm.
And, you know, and it's okay to vote no on a project, but if you don't add a mitigation into the process, you're just basically approving what is in the on the books. There's no change at all. And this is why it's so important, even if you're a minority on a council, to get your mitigation. And the mitigation is maybe we would have lights. Maybe we'd talk about a crosswalk. And they talked about a crosswalk and basically said, oh, well, we don't want the crosswalk there in the city because it's too dangerous. But we can move it maybe to another spot. Well, wait a second, folks. This is an area, if you are disabled, there are poles in the middle of the streets. You can't walk. You can't safely. You can't use a wheelchair. You can't use a walker. And yet they're adding all this traffic to this one particular area. The crosswalk is kind of, oh, well, we'll figure that out later. No, you figure it out today before you approve a project because that crosswalk will never happen. So
that's going to be a real difficult task to put a crosswalk there with those trucks coming in and out of that lot.
Well,
right across the street from.
And the thing is, there's 73-foot trucks going into the post office off Corona, and then they come out of the post office on McDowell. But the problem is, on Corona, in between the rail crossing and the intersection, they plan on actually having an entrance into a SMART station there, where 73-foot trucks take a left-hand turn into the post office. This is shameful for all seven of the council members not to bring up traffic, public safety issues. And one council member I was talking to, I said, the Corona overcrossing has two lanes. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
And the person says, well, it's not going to change traffic if we redo it. And I said, you can't, if you're in a wheelchair, you can't go across it. If you're in a bike, it's dangerous. Yeah. It's dangerous for cars, pedestrians, bikes, and everybody. And to be that narrow-minded to think that you can't actually, safety is not important.
Yeah.
So, very disappointing.
Well, we were just talking about the election, and I just saw this, that apparently there's 74,000 ballots that are still yet to be counted in Sonoma County. So, I don't know if that's enough to change the results on Measure I or some of these other things.
Measure I will not
change. It'll be interesting to see what the final results are.
The fire tax could possibly, but that's still a pretty high percentage to...
Yes.
You know, it's a pretty high number.
Well, my daughter uses the Smart almost every day to go to the Santa Rosa Junior College from Petaluma. And that was one of her first questions, is like, hey, did that pass or not? So she's a little disappointed.
You know, it's not going to interrupt service. It's just
And what they're talking about is having to potentially reduce levels of service and postpone some of the expansion. That was the debt servicing that they were going to be able to do.
Right, that Hillsburg station isn't going to happen now.
Yeah, and they're talking about potentially raising fares and reducing service. So I don't know. Maybe they'll be able to get around that somehow. But it's unfortunate. And what's really sick is that these people have spent $1 million trying to oppose it. Like, what? Why? You know, why don't you put that money into it and make it better?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why.
Yeah,
you're trying to figure out why, and you're really not sure why.
Yeah, trying to figure out what goes on in the mind of developers is.
But this is like a family that, like, why? Why are they so upset about SMART? I don't get it.
On a positive note. Last Monday, the city council banned fireworks.
Yeah, that's a very good thing. Some people are upset because the charities were relying on these things, but there's got to be other ways to raise money, and it's good. At least the city is going to be putting, I think, $30,000 to be split among these charities that normally get money from the fireworks. So for this first year, I guess they're going to do that, and then these charities will have to figure out something.
This has been a long discussion for a long time to ban fireworks.
Well, yeah, and
there's got to be other ways to make money, you know.
Well. PCA, here, Petaluma Community Access, we're a nonprofit. We don't sell fireworks.
No, there's lots of other ways,
to raise money.
People have just gotten used to it, and it's something that they could just rely on, and now they have to think about something different. Anytime you're forced to do something different, there's some resistance.
Yeah. Yes, and Petaluma People's Services Center is putting on a program July 4th called Rivertown Hoops.
Oh.
And it's a fundraising event that they kind of put together to... kind of make up the difference for the loss of revenue for these nonprofits that sell fireworks.
Good.
So that they can, you know, still fund their programs.
Yeah.
Well, somebody also
have Lagunitas. Lagunitas always
puts
aside Mondays and Tuesdays for nonprofits to raise money, and there's no reason why some of these groups can't have a fundraiser there.
They've had enough years to know.
Yeah.
This was coming down the pike. I mean, this has been coming down for 8 years that we've been talking about it. So, you know, I'm not sure what the number is, but so 8 years later, we're finally implementing something that we keep saying, we'll talk more about it next year.
Who were the council members that voted against
it? One guess, Mike Healy and Kathy Miller.
Cool. Well, the party voted for it, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, well,
in his comments, mentioned that when he was living on Payran, he felt like he was living in Beirut during... It was personal for him. I mean...
Well,
it's personal. I don't know how it would be if you would have voted...
And you believe what he said?
I don't know.
I mean, come on. I lived on Payran Street. It was the worst. I know. I live on Carlsbad Court. I can tell you about all the illegals that were there for years.
Probably still will be, but at least the police can identify these
One of the problems is that if when you have legal ones and illegal ones, it makes the police have a harder time distinguishing the two. So,
exactly.
Yeah. This way, it's illegal. Easy.
Well, my dogs are very happy about it.
Yeah, that's great. No, animals don't like it.
Okay. Coco was not bothered by the firework. It was the craziest thing. She lay on the bed and she'd hear a big firework and she'd lift her head up and look at me and then lay her head back down. And but I appreciate that other animals are not like that.
I spend $400 to board my dog every 4th of July.
Wow.
Out of town to get them away from
That's expensive.
Yeah.
So because you have to. You have to take them in the day before, and you can't pick them up, later that night, and then the next day. So that's automatic 3 days of boarding diet.
She wasn't raised on a farm. Farmers would never do that. We never did stuff like that.
Well, I don't know. I wish you could have seen my dogs when it was pathetic. It was.
So there's several stories right now on the Argus website, and the number one most popular story is about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And that is that the Sutter Santa Rosa has just ordered a quarantine for 30 of their workers.
Right. Which tells you that that's where the victim died was at Sutter.
Yeah. So this is growing.
Well, I have one of my daughters works at Sutter in Davis, and she's a CLS, a clinical laboratory scientist. So she's the one analyzing specimens. Mm-hmm. And then I have another daughter that works in Santa Rosa, and she's the one that sucks the blood. And so you really worry because one of them has more of lung issues. And so you do worry that, people could get the virus, and especially hospital workers. Most important thing is you need to wash your hands, don't touch your face, good soap and water, and do about a 20-minute hand scrub. Make sure your nails are clean.
And stay home as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting tonight with the crab feed. There are some people that have chosen not to go, but there's still people buying tickets, so it's interesting. But, because that's at the Veterans Memorial in Santa Rosa. It's a lot of people.
Well,
anybody that's older or has, a cough, stay away.
Google canceled a conference. I heard that the conference in Germany has been pushed up to May. What I hope is that this can get resolved before November, because this could very well impact voter turnout. Standing in line, for hours trying to vote, in close proximity to other people who might be sick.
Idea to start pushing people to vote by mail.
Yes, mail-in ballots.
Yeah. Or, not depress voter registration and all that stuff, too. We have a problem with that.
Well, and not in the, and what was going on with Texas, where people were standing in line for 6 hours.
Right.
Even in L.A., people were standing in line in some polling stations for multiple hours, four hours.
What was the problem?
Just so many people trying to vote and not enough polling stations and not enough people working, I guess. I thought we had this stuff worked out, but this is really kind of frightening because obviously in some cases I think it's by design. The Republican Party in Texas decide to close polling stations that happen to be in areas that typically vote for Democrats.
Let's take the Senate back and keep the Congress and get a Democratic president there and get rid of the shenanigans, because it's really screwing up with the stock market.
Oh, no kidding.
And the ups and downs, and you got, you lose $20,000 a day, and then all of a sudden, some top stocks you're making money on, other ones you're not.
That's especially true if you're in your older years.
That's right.
And you're looking at the retirement stocks, and maybe that's a good segue to go into what we're going to be talking about today.
I think that's good. Good, but let's just, I just want to really let people know. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. You're better off, I think, just using regular soap and water. Make sure that your nails are clean and that if you have a cough, do not go out.
Right.
Don't be around other people if you're not feeling good. Stay home. Don't go to work.
Keep your hands away from your face. And if you have to touch your face, grab a tissue and then throw the tissue away.
Yeah.
On the flip side, with fewer people commuting to work, I wonder what the impacts on greenhouse gas reductions might be. Unless air travel, and you know, maybe there's a bright side.
I don't think there's a bright side to any virus like this. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I wanted to mention what we used to tell employees at Kaiser in infection control training is when you're washing your hands, sing happy birthday twice in your head.
Okay. I used to take my like lines and I would, you know, flush them every morning, and I did a whole like, you know, scrub of my hands and make sure my nails were cut because, you know, people don't realize how much bacteria is underneath your nails.
Well, no one's really saying this because the emphasis is obviously on killing all the germs you can, but you could also overdo it with some of these antibacterial.
I don't believe in those antibacterial scrubs that people use. I prefer soap and water.
Okay.
And for the ladies, if you wear artificial nails, you have got the most germs of any of us.
I work with people that had artificial nails, and I'm looking at this going, ooh, yikes.
Yes.
You know, even though you have gloves on,
yes,
you know, it's just not sanitary.
Yeah. I wouldn't advise employees not to wear artificial nails to anyway,
I took mine off this morning.
Oh, that's nice.
We noticed.
You look, oh, they look nice, Jason.
We noticed, but you're still coloring your hair.
No.
All right, let's move on.
It's my wife's idea. We had to use the tube. I mean, it was like...
I was making that a joke. You didn't have to come up to it.
I don't care. Anyway.
Hello,
Segway. We have with us this morning Lindy Brown, who is here representing the Village Network of Petaluma. Good morning, Lindy.
Hello, nice to hang out with you. This is stimulating.
We have fun. We try to stimulate.
Yeah, we are stimulating.
Yes, and we don't need to snort Adderall like our president to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry, he does.
Hi. Why don't you give us an overview of what the Village Network of Petaluma does for the community?
Well, Village is now got about 200 people involved as members or volunteers, and our goal is we want to stay in our homes as we grow older. We want to stay engaged in the community, learning, growing, supporting each other through all the transitions of aging. And when we need some support, we can call on volunteers to assist us. So that might be tackling some new computer issues together, or a ride to the doctor, or a visit in the home. But basically, our group, it's 5 years old, it's a nonprofit, and we just have fun.
Okay, and this is an organization that caters to older adults, age 50 and over.
Yes, our members are ages 50 and up, I would say.
I like that.
50 and up.
Man,
I think you can also say 50 and better. That makes
I didn't say seniors, I said older adults.
You started at like 55 at least. Give me a couple years.
So we're part of a nationwide movement that kicked off in 2004 in Boston. It kicked off when a couple in their late 60s were in their home on Beacon Hill. There was an ice storm. Their three-story house was inundated with water from the third floor. Water was coming in to a second-floor bedroom because it had created an ice dam, and it was rerouting the water into the house instead of out of the house. So the husband got up on a ladder on the ledge, the roof of the second story. His wife put a rope around his waist, and he went up there. Don't worry, it ends well. He went up there with a, you know, some kind of mallet, and he broke the ice dam and fixed the problem. But when they climbed back in, they just looked at each other and said, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
We want to stay where we're living. We grew up our families here, so did other people. But we can see the time's coming where we might need some help.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of got the ball rolling, and now this is a kind of a revolutionize the experience of aging type of organization. and we're improving the experience of aging in the Petaluma and Pen Grove area.
It looks like you have a lot of activities, weekly walking groups,
right.
Joy of Writing group.
And for people who want to learn a little more about it, every month we have, usually it's the second Thursday, we have a Get to Know the Village meeting. It's a one-hour meeting, and the next one's coming up March 12th, Thursday at 11 a.m. at our office. And we are at 410 D Street, which is at the corner of 5th Street. We share offices at the Methodist Church, which has worked out real well for us. So it's a good entry point for people who might want to volunteer, because the volunteers are of all ages. And for folks in the community that are 50 and up, come find out about it. And also adults who are working and maybe they're raising their family and they've got an older adult parent is, you know, in the community or has moved to the community to be closer, get your older adult plugged in to some fun and service when you want it.
Well, there's a lot more older, mature people moving to Petaluma,
right,
is what you're finding, and, you know, you want to make it a fun, safe community. And, you know, and these are opportunities for people to get to know other people.
Yeah.
Yes, we have quite a few new to the area, older adults who have become members, and they're just thrilled to find like-minded people that are growing, learning, laughing, relying on each other.
It's very cool. You've got a village singing group here, a tech workshop, potlucks. Wow.
Gentle chair yoga. I like that.
That's right.
Yes. And I like the writing.
There's a writing group, and sometimes some of the writing group will put a couple paragraphs in our newsletter, and it's always interesting to see what people are thinking about.
Yeah. And so our listeners know, all of us are sitting here with our laptops looking at villagenetworkofpetaluma.org website.
A lot on there.
Which, yeah, everybody should log on and look. Let's all do it at the same time.
I found out about the village, I guess I was still working. Someone mentioned that it was in the formation stage, so it was in the stage of, you know, kitchen table meetings, talking to each other. Someone suggested I get involved, and I thought, I don't know, it just doesn't sound for me. Well, then I retired when I turned 65, and it got more and more interesting to me to think about being around people that are so engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I did become a volunteer probably about the last 4 years, doing some of the marketing and the public speaking. And I have to say the people in the village are some of the most knowledgeable, interesting people, you know, per capita here in this group that I've come across.
Yeah.
It's really good folks.
Petaluma has a lot of talented people.
Yes.
And, you know, not everybody wants to be in politics. Everything is political. But, you know, you just want to find something that you can actually, that benefits your community. You know, and I think this is an interesting, it's an interesting way of building a community.
Well, particularly
in a group.
Particularly if you're older and maybe you're lonely, you don't have a lot of people around, this seems like a really positive group to get involved with.
Or even something as simple as one of our members was preparing for a hip replacement.
Mm-hmm.
She lived alone, she had a cat, and she had anxiety. Well, what's going to happen when I come back?
Mm-hmm.
So we had some volunteers who have some expertise in this. They went over to her place, and they surveyed it for making it safe for her, like pick up the scatter rugs. They promised they would come over and feed the cat while she was in hospital.
Yeah.
And they decided, you know, it doesn't always happen this way, but they decided that they would bring her meals, food, for about the first 4 days. And this really makes a big difference. Number one, it dispels her anxiety about, you know, at least one part of her anxiety.
Right.
And, you know, she felt really supported, and you know, she'll be able to pass it on next time somebody else needs some support.
Exactly. You know, a friend of mine just had a hip replacement, and what she found is that because of the angle she had to sit, her chair did not work for her. And so she has a village network that people came and stayed with her. Mm-hmm. And this person built this platform, and they put the chair on the platform, and so she was at the correct angle.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And so it's so important, you know, when you have people that are working together to help somebody, there's all kinds of different talents.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But this one, it's an interesting one with the replacement. Right. The replacements.
So how do you reach out? How do people become aware of this network?
Well, we do, you know, the usual flyers, posters, mm-hmm. and our members are pretty active about bringing friends in. And we like to do as much public speaking as possible with church groups, service clubs. And we do what we call a living room chat. So if you wanted to gather six or eight people in your living room, you provide the tea and cookies, and mm-hmm. we send somebody over to, like, I would come over and do a little talk about the village and what are people interested in.
Cool.
I think this can be really helpful, too, to employers whose mm-hmm. employees are in between raising a family and having the parent mm-hmm. nearby, because you know, especially if the parent is new to the community.
Right.
Get them hooked up. And also the older adult doesn't want to rely only on the child and their family for social outlets. So, you know, we just continue to be active and growing.
Well, our local Democratic Club, we're trying to get new members, and this woman came and to an event, and she's new to the area. She lived in Washington, D.C., and she worked on periodicals, but her children live here. And so she decided to move out to California, and so she's trying to get to know people. And
right.
and so, but she doesn't want to be just a babysitter.
Right.
She wants to actually be integrated in the community. So she helped us with registering students to for voting at the JC, because I was doing that for a while, and we'll be going back to that. But I'm going to contact her, and I'm going to ask her if she knows about this, and maybe the two of us will go
right.
together. You know, it's always nicer if you have somebody else to go with.
To go
but, you
with,
know,
right.
I mean, there's quite a few people that I know are new to our community that I'm thinking.
Another example, one of our members, his wife died, and, you know, he was at a loss, and he found he was watching too much TV,
mm-hmm.
and he knew he had talents to give and share, but he just kind of didn't know where to start, and he got hooked up with the village and came onto the board, and he had a tremendous influence. He was chairing the committee that does the driving, and we
right.
do like a door-to-door, like pick you up at your door, take you to your appointment, into the office, and wait for you if it's short.
Mm-hmm.
So he got engaged and contributed quite a bit.
So you started in, this chapter started in 2014, but there's 30 villages in the Bay Area, it says, according to the website.
Right.
And
there's about 230 nationwide.
Yeah, 250 even.
And they're all different. Some of them mm-hmm. are under the wing of a senior center. Some of them are an independent nonprofit like we are. And they're all different depending on the needs of the community.
Recently, at a city council meeting, the city has a senior commission,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and they came and they talked about just, you know, safe streets and, you know, being able to have a safe community to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems as though there's this group, I mean, there's a lot of groups that actually kind of almost interface together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm sure there's a connection between people that are members of this and members of your organization.
Yes, and I think that one of the questions we get often is, well, I still drive, I don't need a ride. Well, guess what? You need to start making a new community, because
right.
as time goes on,
right.
maybe your best friend moves to Maryland to be with her daughter, or you lose your spouse and you want to have a support system that's ready to go. And I think research shows if you don't start doing this reaching out by about age 72, it's a lot tougher. So many of us started in our 60s, and now we have this support system that we love. And I would say what really binds us together is that underlying bedrock We want to live in our own homes, apartments, or condos, and we want to support each other. So we are going to be building this organization either as a volunteer or a member, or now we have a new category of membership, which I am. It's called Associate Member, and I'm fully part of the life of the village. However, my request for service, if I need some kind of assistance, it's limited to 3 requests a year versus a member might be requesting 3 rides a week. So it's just a little different. In fact, I did. I called in and said, "We our handheld shower needed a fix," and Wayne came over and fixed it for us. So it was really nice, to be able to give on the PR and marketing end. That's what I do. And then Wayne, he's a handyman. He comes over. So it's kind of a little village.
So is there a fee to be a member? Or
yes. The membership fee is $50 a month to be a member. 2 or more at the same address is, or is it 50 or 55? I forget. The 2 or more at the same address is 80. And then the associate member, which has less services to coordinate, is I pay 30 a month, or if 2 or more at my address would be 45 a month. And volunteers are free. Volunteers are no charge.
Right. And that includes rides to doctor appointments and social events, minor home repairs, friendly in-home visits, computers, phones, and other electronics, grocery shopping and picking up medications, taking notes at doctor visits, support for family caregivers and adult children, finding the right local resources. So that's quite a few things that the volunteers are helping with. And you've got special events, interest groups.
Yeah, how many volunteers do you have?
We probably have about 120 members and probably about 100 volunteers.
Wow.
And the volunteer work is, if it's in the office and administrative, then you probably would have regular set hours. But if you're a driver or a handy person, the request is emailed out, and whoever can do it takes it.
So do you work with the Petaluma People Service Center? Because they have the iRide that Cindy does.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious, what is your... Do you work with these other organizations, or are you kind of a separate entity?
Well, they have iRide. You know what we have found out through research in our local county-level area on aging confirms this, that you need as many opportunities for transportation as possible. I mean, there's many of us, especially in this age group, and you need as many entry points as possible. There can never be too much transportation.
That's true.
Right.
No, this iRide limits your rides to 3 a week. And if you're on dialysis, that takes all of the rides right there.
Right.
So, you still need to get to the grocery store and to other doctor appointments. So I can see where that would be a plus.
Huh.
Imagine when we have autonomous vehicles.
Yeah.
They just show up and pick you up and drop you off.
I'd like to, maybe I can just describe, if we have time, a couple more
Absolutely.
Services. And we have something we call Med Pals. This is somebody who needs someone to take notes at the meeting. Have you ever gone into the doctor and you forget to ask a question?
I always call her going in with a second set of ears.
Second set of ears going in. Yeah. So this person is volunteers trained to not take over for you, but maybe talk with you before the appointment. What are the questions you want to ask? And...
Or just describe during the...
Take notes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if the village member wants this volunteer to interface with an adult family member about the visit, that could save the adult from a trip to the doctor.
Right, right.
So that kind of thing. And tech is a big thing. It's changing so fast, nobody can keep up with it. But we're still learning, and people in this age group are more and more using iPads and FaceTime to keep in touch with the grandkids and all that. So there is a tech workshop that meets regularly, and there can be one-on-one you know, let's explore some of the tech.
Before my mom died, she really wanted an iPad. And, you know, things were just, you know, a lot was just going on. And we never got that iPad, and I still, to this day, am so sorry that she never got an iPad, because she used to go play cards on her computer, and, you know, she could have actually had it on her lap at the point when, you know, she was, you know, mentally fine, but, you know, her mobility was a little bit less, and I'm still sorry about that. You know, those little things that, you know, because I wasn't open-minded enough to realize what joy it would have brought her. And she could have used her mind, and she could have sat in her chair, and she could have done her play cards and been happy. I mean, she was active, but it would have given her just something extra.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, things you feel bad about
or regret.
Mm-hmm. What else do you have, Lindy?
Well,
so you have a film discussion group. The whole calendar. There's a bunch of things coming up, actually.
Yeah, coming up.
Calendar.
We've got... Well, what is it? March 10th, we have a workshop at the library. How do you tell if a loved one needs more care?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a panel of people involved in senior care talking about what are some of the signs, what are some of the resources. And we're doing a lot of programs at the library because it's a venue people know. They're comfortable going there. And the library's been great about... You know, in essence, we're providing programming for the library, and they're helping us with promotion. So that's on March 10th from 1 to 2:30.
And is there a fee for that?
No, it's free.
Okay.
You got a mindfulness-based meditation group tomorrow. Yeah. That's interesting.
That's a Saturday group. They are meeting every Saturday, and it's coordinated by a volunteer who's... I guess he's a psychologist. That has been his career. He's retired now.
Well, here's something. On the 13th, you have a village game night. So what is that?
Right.
What happens
I was
there?
Wondering what that was, too. I love games.
Okay. That's for you, then. That's for members, volunteers to go and enjoy playing games. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what their current passion is. They might, if they're a small group, they probably play the same board game or whatever. I hope they don't do charades. I'm terrible.
Oh, right. I've got cards, you know. We're into dominoes.
So, yeah, it's for the people who like games. I would say in the village, if you say, you know what, they should have a XYZ group. Well, then everybody looks at you and says, okay, start it.
Right.
That's how all these things have gotten started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty easy. Just call your shot, what it is you want to do, and when you want to do it, and then gather like minds.
I like the bocce ball.
Yeah, bocce ball is really fun. That's a super popular one.
You have a drop-in coffee hour at the Aquas Cafe.
Yeah, I think that's Wednesday mornings at 9, maybe.
It's a regular thing that you guys are doing.
Right.
And the walking group, that's great. Yeah. You get out and walk.
Right.
What areas do you walk? Is there a set path?
I'm not familiar. I think they... have a common meeting place, and then they just take off for a walk.
I see a lot of people walking in groups up to, like, Helen Putnam. I live up on B Street. I just wondered if that was maybe some of your members. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. And Elad Levinson is doing a Qigong group.
Right.
And that's a beautiful, slow movement, but brings you into mindfulness and being aware of your body. And that's a weekly group on Wednesdays at, I think, 10:30?
Yeah, it supports balance, relaxation, vigor, and strength. And it's everything that, as we get older, we need to be
more.
Right.
Exactly.
You mentioned tech. There's a tech workshop, making passcodes easy.
Oh my God.
That's one of my biggest problems. I'll have passwords on my main computer, if then I don't have it on my iPad.
Well,
or
then
my
they
phone.
Pop up, and I'm going, oh my God, I don't want people to see that.
Yeah. There's a great solution here on macOS. They have the keychain.
Well, maybe
access.
You can help me.
Yes, that'll generate codes for you, and it'll remember them. But then the problem is I don't have it on my other device. But, yeah, that should be a fun one.
Huh.
Well, you guys have a lot of stuff going on. Joy of Writing group, nutrition discussion group.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And
whole calendar here.
We really are in sync with each other about we're going to support and rely on each other throughout. It's really it's a joy to have like-minded people with you. We're like the headline on our brochure, Join the Revolution in Aging. This was, you know, I grew up of the 60s and early 70s, so Join the Revolution, I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on Thursday, March 12th from 11 a.m. to noon, at the 410 D Street, you have like a get to know the village meeting.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's kind of an introductory. If people want to go, this is a good date. And you'll have, do you have one once a month? Or?
Once a month. It's usually second Thursdays at 11.
Okay.
And every so often, then we have an additional one on a Saturday.
And so once people are joined up, they're members, could we refer to them as village people?
Yes, you can. We always laugh about that.
Sorry.
Oh, Jason.
Sorry. Kidney's just a bad pun.
You know, the founders of the village, Anne Greenblatt, really, she got it started. She read in the, this was way back when, before anything had started. She had retired from working in Sonoma State's Career Center, and her husband, Paul, also worked at Sonoma State. They moved from their bigger property in Forestville to a smaller condo in Petaluma, and the daughter was kind of disappointed. She wanted them to move down to Pleasant Hill with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, no, we like what's happening in Sonoma County. We're Sonoma County people. So she read in the AARP magazine about this concept of the village, and there was a nationwide conference being held in the East Bay. So she went to it to learn all she could. She was curious. She had the time. And her husband says, yep, she came home with her hair on fire. And that's kind of how I started.
Like that.
And she had the drive, the perseverance, and she just got sparked by this concept. And really, it is because of Anne that after about 2 years of the kitchen table meetings, the village had its first office and opened as a nonprofit under the auspices of another nonprofit.
That's what I was just going to ask about
that. And then as time went on, like in about another year or two, the village got its own nonprofit status.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's reasonable, sustainable growth to sort of start small. And now we are at the point where we are doing fundraising for taking in some members that live on limited income. We probably have about 8 members who live at PEP housing, and they qualify as a limited income. So
what does that mean?
Well, it's an income threshold, so they're living in
like 75% or something below.
Yeah.
I was reading something.
I should know, but I don't know the number.
But as far as fees, is it reduced fees?
Yes. Each PEP member is paying $10 a month.
Okay.
And we have done, our community has done the fundraising for the remaining $40 a month.
Okay.
So that grows our village, involves more people in the village, and we're really proud of that our community wants to support that.
This is where I have a real problem when, you know, everybody's talking about low income housing and this and that. I mean, it doesn't mean that your mind, you know, and what you've done all your life is you just should not be thrown away because of the word low income.
Discounted.
And I'm really glad that, you know, this organization recognizes it, but people need to recognize this with housing. These are our parents. They could be our next door neighbors.
Yeah. They'll be us.
Or it could be us.
Circumstances change.
Right. And it's just like you want to get that word out of the language, vocabulary, because it seems to be such a negative. And to me, it's I think it's really important that people of all socioeconomics actually live together instead of just having PEP housing for seniors.
Yeah.
You need to integrate
the whole stuff.
Exactly. And that is actually what's happening with the state of California. That's why PEP is kind of petering out because they can't actually get certain monies if they're only going for seniors. So it needs to be more integrated, which I think is really important because how do younger people learn? They learn from seniors. And, you know, when they interact in neighborhoods or in a, you know, living, wherever you're living. And so, but it just says we offer subsidized membership at $10 a month for older adults living on limited income at or below the 175% of federal poverty level. And so, you know, so there's a criteria.
For that membership.
For that membership. Yeah. Yeah. And so I thank you very much.
And we're also fundraising because it's become clear that we need to have an executive director. Mm-hmm. Anne started this. That was 2 years in formation. She's still board, well, board president may have changed, but she's been on the board and in leadership for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And recently she and her husband did move over to Pleasant Hill into co-housing where the daughter is.
Oh, okay.
And so as time goes on, we need to be thinking about the succession plan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we need an executive director now. Right now we have a part-time, probably under 20 hours, Joanne Martin-Braun. She's fabulous. She's director of membership and volunteer, but there's a lot of nuts and bolts and future vision that a semi-part-time person can't have mastery over.
Right.
It's just too much. We're starting to grow, and we need that.
This is great for our community because Petaluma's has so many different groups like this, you know, or groups.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like everybody's kind of converging together at a time. Our community's changing.
Yes.
It's becoming an older community. Younger people are moving in. You see more and more people with children and strollers walking around. You see just more mobility
mm-hmm.
with all different ages.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when somebody moves, I mean, I've been here all my life, but when I assume people move into a community, you really want to look and see what is offered. And
right.
This is just one of another gem that's offered in this community.
Thank you. Very nice.
I like your little handout, this little pamphlet here, flyer. One of the points it makes is that you have door-through-door transportation. So I guess the point is you're actually not just dropping somebody off in front
Correct.
Of where they're supposed to be. You actually help
right.
them get in the door. That's great.
Yeah. And we drive as far north as the Kaiser Sutter offices up 101 in Santa Rosa, as far south as Kaiser in San Rafael.
Yeah.
And then east and west, we have a member who lives out in Two Rock. So it is for Petaluma and Pengrove
mm-hmm.
residents, but it's not strict about city limits.
Good. And you have, it says, between the ages of 50 and 100 plus. I'm just curious, who's the oldest?
I think in the 90s.
Yeah. Okay.
In the 90s.
And what's on average? Are most people in their 60s? Most people in their, I'm just curious if there's
a
cluster.
70s, 80s.
Okay.
I'm going to have to ask for some stats on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very 39, good.
Wow.
So do a lot of these people also get involved in, like, the senior center, or is that...
They may.
Yeah.
If the village doesn't keep them busy enough, I mean, we have people I see in both places.
Yeah.
I think, just like I said, the village thing is that deep understanding that we're here for each other
that's
in
great.
A real... bedrock way that is maybe mm-hmm. the difference.
That's very impressive.
And we do have, you know, I'll just mention we have a driver training coming up. If people are interested, that is one of our most requested services, and that's coming up Tuesday, March 31st.
So is it just volunteers?
Volunteers.
Okay.
Well, members also. Our members, a third of them are also volunteers.
So I just want to say, I remember your mother.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. And I just, and she was... You had a lovely relationship.
I hear the
just
music.
Just want to let you know that.
There's the music.
Yeah. Ordinarily, we'd be off the air by now, but unfortunately, Jordan Torres is not going to be coming in today for his morning show. So
we have to go longer.
So we
go. Cool. It's a 2-hour show.
Oh, we're about an hour and a half before the top of the hour. So
we can keep going on.
We have another topic.
You want to go another hour?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Another 10 minutes.
I think the listeners have had enough.
Yeah, I've got to get ready to be tonight.
I'll do some work.
Crappy.
And I want to thank Wendy Brown for being here today. She's with the Village Network of Petaluma, and their website is villagenetworkofpetaluma.org.
Yep.
Go there and hear more about it, read more about it. We will be back next Friday at 11 a.m. as usual. You've been listening to Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas, here with co-hosts Jason Davies and Janet Peter Thompson, and
happy crabbing.
Have
a great weekend,
happy
everyone.
Happy crabby, yes. All right, everyone, see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.